someday, some year, I'm going to get to this point of the Christmas season, the Sunday before Christmas, and we're going to stand up and we're going to play How the Grinch Stole Christmas just for fun. So, someone asked me why we had a green bulletin, and that was the first thought that came to my mind because that's the Grinch's color, but I didn't want to say that one out loud because, you know, Christmas season. It is always interesting. This morning we're going to take a look at the first Christmas. And not because you've not heard the story before. If you've come to Christmas season here, you've heard it a bunch. You go over it with the kids, the pastor's pals, several weeks before Christmas. And it's interesting, the ones after they've been here two or three years, I start asking them where in the Bible it's found, and they can actually tell me, and I get real pleased at that. But it's not because we haven't heard it before, but sometimes it's just good for us to hear it again. Originally memorized it in the King James Version. I'm reading it from the New American Standard, and sometimes it's hard to read it in a version other than the one you memorized it in years ago. And so if my tongue gets tangled, that's the reason. And so said, now in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of the inhabited earth. A little bit of arrogance in there, isn't it? Okay, Caesar was not in control of the whole inhabited earth. Okay, India and China would tend to disagree with that statement. But that was the arrogance of Caesar. That just gives you an idea of his mindset. That he in charge of the whole wide world, because that's all he knew about. Anyhow, and you see that reflected in Scripture, Caesar's arrogance. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his own way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David. Now, why does it say up to Bethlehem when he's going south from Nazareth down there? The elevation. If you're walking and the hill's like this, you're going to recognize it. In order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. I much prefer the phrase great with child, especially when I refer it to Mary. Never refer to a pregnant woman you know as great with child. It is not going to go well for you. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. Y'all remember how that works? Was anybody not surprised when all of a sudden the labor started? You've had 9 months of notice. It's not like it was a surprise that it was going to happen. But boy, that moment that labor starts is, While they're there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. Now, you can tell a guy is writing this. Okay, because if a woman is writing this, there's a little bit of difference between it came time to give birth and she gave birth, and that's all that's said about it. Okay? It's got to be a guy. Even if he's a physician doctor like Luke, it's still just, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. Like it was easy. Hey, it didn't bother Luke at all. And she wrapped him in cloths, swaddling clothes. Okay? They didn't have the fancy little layette set from Walmart that all the, you know, grandmothers got for them. They just had some rags they wrapped the kid in. Okay. And she laid him in a manger because there's no room for them in the inn. Do you know how poor you have to be where your baby is born in the barn? And instead of a crib, they have the manger. Do you understand the grinding, abject poverty that's involved in that kind of beginning of life? We're talking way beyond the hospital level to where that baby's coming and we just put it wherever we got a chance for. In the same region, there are some shepherds staying out in their fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Okay? That means the shepherds were awake in the middle of the night, keeping an eye out for the flocks. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. It's dark. And all of a sudden, it ain't dark no more. It's light. Because there's an angel, and he's shining, and the glory of God is shining. The visible manifestation of God's presence, his glory, is shining around them, and they were terribly frightened. Okay? The King James says they were sore afraid. They're so afraid they got sore. I don't know what sore afraid means. I understand, terribly frightened. Okay? But the angel said to them, by the way, these are the most common words of an angel in the scripture, fear not. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people. Okay, now, if you're standing in the middle of the dark, and all of a sudden somebody bright and shining and glowing stands up in front of you, I'm going to give you a little hint. Listen to what he says. Okay? I bring you good news, great joy, which shall be for just all your Jewish friends, for all the people. For today in the city of David, there is born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign for you. Sign means the attesting miracle, the things you can see and look at to tell you, that point you in the right direction. This will be the sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And I don't know how many barns there were in Bethlehem, and I don't know how many they had to check before they found the right one, but it doesn't take long walking past a bunch of barns before you hear a baby crying, okay? They're going to zero in on it fairly quickly. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom he is pleased. And that particular phrase is translated differently in just about every version. And so if the real smart guys that translate the Bible don't know what it actually says, I don't even want to pretend to, guess that I'm smarter than they are. The glory to God in the highest part never changes. And on earth, peace never changes. Who the peace is toward, sometimes it's kind of hard to figure out. But they got a whole group of angels singing that. Now, I don't know how good it sounds to hear an angel sing. I've heard some good people singers. I've heard some not so good people singers. But somehow I imagine angel singers are a couple of steps above even the best people singers. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, angels come, angels go, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Okay, so they converse. Hey, let's go check this out. Let's go find out. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which are told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. The first Christmas was awfully inconvenient. Okay? None of us like paying taxes. Go to Walmart, 8.1% sales tax added on what you order. And every time that happens, you just smile and say, in America, life in America, great. considered self-employed for tax purposes. Four times a year, I get to write the government a great big check. If you're not, they take it out of your check ahead of time. And we're just so thrilled to enjoy the excitement of paying for the marvelous lifestyle of our senators and representatives in all of their infinite wisdom in Washington. Can you imagine if we had to walk 50 miles to be able to pay our taxes? Okay? It was inconvenient. The perfect timing of God for the birth of His Son included submission to a wrong-headed government. It was inconvenient. Taxes, census, travel. Those of you ladies who can remember being pregnant, how would you like to have spent your 9th month walking 50 miles to go pay your taxes? Inconvenient doesn't even begin to specify. They get there, there's no room. Why? Because everybody else in town doing the same thing. And they got there before Mary and Joseph did because Mary was slow. Because she hauling that big pregnant baby up that hill. No room, no time, no hope. You got any inconvenient people in your life? You got any people in your life who are inconvenient for you? Or maybe cause you inconvenience? Or maybe people whose lives just seem to jump from one inconvenient thing to another? The first Christmas was inconvenient. Life was not sweet and wonderful. This was not a Hallmark moment. Okay? This was a young couple, scared, hurting, struggling. Talk about crying for your mama because you're having a baby a long ways away from home. That defines the first Christmas. It was inconvenient. Next time you get real frustrated because something's inconvenient going on in your life, where you're thinking, I don't have time for this, sometimes that's when God does His greatest works. I'd just assume life was a tremendous Hallmark moment all the time. But I've lived long enough to recognize that sometimes the greatest actions of God are when I am at my weakest and struggling the most. But in spite of being inconvenient, the first Christmas was kind of heavenly. Some shepherds out minding their own business, and all of a sudden God interrupts time and space to send some angels there to lighten up the whole darkness. Angels sitting there singing. I don't know whether they actually strummed harps or not. You know, I kind of think they're an a cappella choir. You know, got the big deep angel voices going. You figure it out however you want to figure it out. Jose thinks they're playing a guitar. God does something heavenly. The response was fear. Because we are so tied up in our natural selves that when God invades time and space and does something supernatural, it ought to scare us a little bit. There ought to be a sense of overwhelming shame and fear. And the angel says, I've got good news for you. There's a Savior been born. Savior for the whole world. And then look what he says next. He says, and I'm going to give you a sign. I'm going to give you something so you can recognize it. I'm not just saying these words out in the middle of nowhere, so you have to, jump off a cliff and hope there's somebody there to catch you. I'm going to give you a sign. when you go into Bethlehem, you're going to find a baby and a manger. And you're going to know. And all of a sudden, there's a whole multitude of angels. The heavenly part did not appear to Joseph and Mary. The heavenly part appeared to the shepherds outside. And if we were Mary, we'd be going, "Hey, Lord, I spent all the time in this pregnancy. I'm the one that hurt. I'm the one who went through labor, and they get to see the angels?" See, God's going to do something heavenly. And He may do it for somebody smelly out there, when we're the ones that are struggling to get through life. And we get so mad that God's doing something heavenly somewhere else. But then we're going to get a chance to share it. Because the first Christmas was also confirmation. The shepherds said, "Let's go see." They could have said, "Let's take the sheep somewhere else, because that was really scary, and let's get as far away from here as we can." But instead they said, "Let's go see." And so they went to Bethlehem, and they searched from barn to barn until they found the one where there's a baby lying in a manger, and the mother and the father there. And they saw the confirmation of the sign the angel had given them. And then they told Mary and Joseph the story of the angels. They weren't telling everybody as they're going through town until they saw the confirmation of their own eyes what the angel had said. See, they knew no one would believe it until they really believed it. When they're checking out one barn after another, they're just checking to see if they haven't lost their minds, if they've not gone crazy. But then when they see that confirmation, they say, "Let's tell everybody what happened. We saw some angels and they told us you'd be here." And what did Mary do? It says she took and pondered it all in her heart. Mary didn't get to see the angels. The time she saw the angel was 9 months previously. But she got the confirmation that God was still doing some amazing things, because an ugly, smelly shepherd came and told her what God was doing. Confirmed for her that God was still at work. The first Christmas was confirmation. We've talked this month about asking God for a miracle. What do I want God to do? What kind of a miracle am I seeking from God? What is it I hope God can do? See, God does God things. God does virgin births. Well, only one that we know of, but I mean, you know, God does that kind of miracle. God does the timing of everything coming together where even a godless Caesar could give an instruction that brought them to the right place at the right time to fulfill the Old Testament scripture, "Out of you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah," from Micah 5:2. See, God does God kind of things of setting the whole world in place and in motion for the right time to occur. God does virgin births. God does the whole angel thing. He can send them and recall them, get them to do what He wants them to do. God does God things. But we do our things. We see the Roman government's proclamation, and so we travel. Whether you got the money or not. we do us things. She carried the baby. She gave birth. And it hurt. Because when women give birth, they scream. And if you're holding their hand at the time, they will break your hand. Because they're squeezing real tight. And about two-thirds of the way through the labor, they look at you in the eye and say, "This is all your fault." And the only response you can give is, "Yes, dear." And if you've been married for a while, you've practiced that and you're good at it. "Yes, dear." See, we do the human stuff. We go and see. We travel from barn to barn and find him. And if we do the stuff we're supposed to do, if we do our things, and we trust God to do his things, those Christmas miracles occur. See, we got to do our things. Scripture says we shall be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And I don't know where the uttermost parts of the earth are, but I've been close a few times, I think. We'll be his witnesses. That's an us thing. That's a we thing. And God does miracles like forgiveness and salvation. Those are the kind of miracles God does. We do the going and the sharing things. God does the saving things. We do the repenting things, and God does the forgiving things. See, when miracles come, it's because we do our stuff, the stuff we got to do, and God does the stuff God's got to do. And God invades time and space to do what he wants to as he sees fit. It just so happens that if we're doing our things the way God wants us to, that we see God at work a little more frequently than we do if we're not doing our things. What kind of miracle are you asking for God to do? And are we doing the things that God wants us to do to see that miracle come about? Let's pray. Father, help us to do our things. Help us trust you to do your things. Forgive us for trying to do your things for you. I think you can handle it without our help. But we trust you, Father, that you will do your things in your time as you see fit if we are faithful to do our things. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.